Hallelujah. Glory. Can everybody see me? Usually I ask, can everybody hear me? Can everybody see me? Glory. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what we're going through. Everyone say, I'm going through it. But I'm getting to the other end. Hallelujah. You know, one thing we don't want to do is get stuck. Amen. We don't want to get stuck. And in areas where we begin to get stuck, we begin to move in the flesh. It's just like somebody who's can't swim and is in the water. Believe me, you want to see somebody get in the flesh quickly? Throw somebody in the water that can't swim. Man, they'll grab everything and anything. And that's all they need to do is relax and hold their breath, and they become buoyant. But see, if they're ignorant and don't know that, they drown. Even a baby, as an infant, learns how to swim. Lissy, our daughter, when she was how old? Six or nine months. We brought her to swimming lessons. It was killing me. Man, I wanted to dive in and get her every time I brought her. I tell her, I can't take her, man. They're going to throw me out of this place. And then I began to realize that there's a human, not human, an eternal character within us that God has placed in every human being as an area of survive. And so many children fall into a pool in Florida, especially, and drown. And that's all they need to do is turn over and they'll float. And so many times, you know, when I would bring Lissy there, I'd think, gosh, but then I would, and then she'd cough and spit and everything, and you know, and they'd say, no, you can't go in after her. I'd be, man, I'd be at the edge ready to dive in and say, man, you're going to kill my kid. And I'd say, no, watch what she does. And she just instantly would turn over and float, thinking, whoa, so easy. But yet, we struggle so much. See, we get into that arena, and we start in the flesh, and we struggle, and we fight, and we try to survive. And we grab anything that comes along. Because we don't want to drown. The thing is you're not drowning. It's a lie. So if you can reject that you're drowning and relax, you'll float. But if you accept that you're drowning, you're going to fight and try to survive, even though, and you'll grab onto anything. And that's what people do in that arena. They grab onto drugs. They grab onto alcohol. They grab onto pornography. They grab onto all the things that think that is going to help them feel better or help them survive. Even education. People spend their lifetime going to school thinking that it's going to improve them. Now, it may improve them physically, but does it improve them spiritually? Sometimes it causes an individual to be further away because they rely on their intellect of survival and really can't surrender and trust. And that's all he's asking to do. Again, remember we shared about there's those that are stupid and those that are ignorant. Those that are ignorant have a chance. Those that are stupid need to get hit by a truck. I was one of them. In fact, I probably still have the track marks on my body somewhere I'm recovering from. Probably a couple of trucks had to hit me. But in this, we are in a time and in a season where we're seeing a lot of stupid. I'm telling you. You look, I mean, I've seen these intellectual, political politicians and all of these people in high places and businesses. You know what the Lord says? That what man esteems is an abomination to God. And they have all of these fancy words and all of these false promises and all of these things that are going on because they're in survival mode. See, they're grabbing onto anything and hoping somebody can grab on it with them. But yet they're stupid. I've seen some of the most intelligent people be stupid, and they need to get hit by a truck so that they awaken. And I believe that that's a lot of things that are happening right now in the world. And I, you know, sometimes fear, because people are in the world are afraid of losing things. And when they sense that they're about to lose something and fear comes, sometimes that fear becomes a truck. Oh my God, what happens if... See, that's when the atheist says, oh my God. And in this, God is trying to get us into a place where nothing really matters but Him. Again, I want to share with you that the world doesn't have anything to offer us. And that's the place we want to get to. The world doesn't have anything to offer me and you, but you have something to offer the world. And until we get that understanding that we have something to offer the world, but the world doesn't have anything to offer you, we will constantly battle in the arena of survival. Because we're still trying to know who we are when we're supposed to know who we are already. When we're supposed to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. And there are things that the enemy places in our path, and we know this, we've been through it. Let me tell you, he isn't stupid. In fact, the Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. So for you to outwit the devil, you must be in the spirit, or he'll outwit you in a second. The next thing you know is that you're back right where you're standing, coming where you were just rescued from. I see many people. In fact, a gentleman came to my house yesterday knocking on my door, telling me God told him something. I said, God didn't tell you that, because he doesn't interrupt himself. And I said to him, you've already re-entered the cycle, haven't you? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, the Lord's trying to rescue you from all the things of the world, addiction and so forth. And I said, you've already picked up your first cigarette, so you've already re-entered the cycle. I can guarantee you that you're going to start all over again. Why? Because you're going to head right back to where God tried to rescue you from. Because somebody offered somebody a job, pulled a person out of position, out of a place. See, God doesn't interrupt himself. And so many times he allows us to go through things to teach us. Sometimes he'll say, have you had enough yet? Are you done? And he waits for us. And we do all of these goofy things. These things that you and I do, and we've got to begin to recognize more of, is what we call selfish restrictions. Selfish restrictions. Why are they selfish restrictions? Because these are restrictions that prevent us to grow and mature. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to grow. He wants you to stay stagnant. And if you've ever noticed water that is stagnant, the first thing it begins to do is produce larvae, mosquitoes, and bugs, and starts to produce its algae and all kinds of other things. It becomes stagnant because there's no growth. And it becomes nasty, and it collects all kinds of things because there's no movement until you finally empty out that bucket or whatever, or refill it, refresh it. And that's one of the things that God is trying to get us to. Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5? 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, I'm going to remove the word younger because people think, well, I'm older. It shouldn't have to mean to me. So it says, likewise, you people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God what? Resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the plan, right? God gives grace. Grace is the plan of God. And what's the plan? So that you and I escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Hello. So it's going to have to start with what? Humility. Humbleness. You know, when you're in humility and humbleness, you're surrendered. You're at peace. You're calm. You don't get moved. You have a form of death. It says, verse 6, therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. It doesn't say, therefore, be anxious in yourselves. Don't be prideful. Don't be greedy. Don't be all of these things. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. So many times we want to exalt ourselves, not even realizing it. Let me tell you, selfish restrictions tries to promote self. He says, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Here's the kicker right here. Be what? Be what? Sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The word sober means alert. The word vigilant is associated with being consistent. We want to be alert and consistent. We want to be alert and consistent. And I'm going to tell you something. One does not work without the other. Does everybody got it? If you are not consistent, you cannot be alert. If you're not alert, it's because you're not consistent. It's impossible. Does everybody got it? You must be consistent to be alert. It's impossible to be alert without being consistent. Amen? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. In verse 21. What's the two things we need to be? Amen. Alert and consistent. And without consistency, you can't be what? Alert. You know, a light bulb is not turned on without consistent power going to it. Once the power is cut, there's no more light. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord with a pure heart. In other words, be careful who you fellowship with. Has everybody got it? Why? Because associations bring impartations. Verse 23. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord, so when you become a believer and you're a follower, you desire to serve, don't you? If you don't, there's something wrong. It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Gentle. To who? All. Able to what? Teach. See, you're here because you're being called to teach. Every one of you should teach. Every one of you is called to be a teacher. But if you're not consistent, hello, how can you be a teacher? Now, you may be a teacher to the things of the world. Whippy. That's nice for the world. But what about a teacher of eternal things? We're all called to be teachers of the eternal things of God. Is everybody okay? Able to teach, patient, which means endurance, verse 25. And humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their what? Senses. These senses are not your smell and your taste. These senses are spiritual senses. Those two senses are to be what? Alert and consistent. Those two senses. That they may be returned to being consistent and alert. Has everybody got it? Why? So they can discern. And look at this. That they may come to their senses and escape the what? Snare of the devil. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. Let me share something with you that the enemy likes to do. He likes to bring you into a place of justification, where we justify what we do, compromise, complacency, lying, works of the flesh, all of those things. That means there's a snare, isn't there? So something has occurred. There's that place that where there's not consistency because you're not alert to these things. You are not sensitive to the deception of the enemy. You know how many people think that their own thoughts are always their own? Never able to discern what the enemy said. Never able to say, well, who told me that? Never able to take in the time to say, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? And what am I really assisting the kingdom of God, or am I assisting my kingdom? What's my purpose? What's my motive? See, in this arena, there's blindness and deception. And what causes these things are selfish restrictions. It brings dullness to us. We become hard-hardened. Let me tell you something. We believe, and now God loves us regardless of what, amen? But because people come into a place and utilize that as an excuse, well, God loves me the way I am. Yes, he does. He may love you the way you are, but he may not like the way you are. Has everybody got it? He may love you the way you are, but he may not like the way you are. Some of us, we love everyone, but we don't like everyone. Amen? Sometimes we don't even like ourselves, especially. So these senses, these spiritual senses here are what's associated with being sober or vigilant or being consistent and alert. Being consistent and alert. Being consistent and alert. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Selfish restrictions. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. You know, people don't even realize that they're bound in this arena. We get tithes checks sometimes that come with $25.31. Hallelujah. What? You can't give up the other 70-something cents? Or 60-something cents or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whoa! You know, you talk about somebody that's bound. They justify. Let's see. They want to make sure that they got their 90%. Most people don't even give God his 10%. And they call themselves Christians. That's not Christ-like. Why? Because he uses the seed to bless those who are in need. Amen? Not like Obamacare or anything like that, okay? This has got nothing to do with governmental stuff. This is eternal stuff. These are things that are eternal. These are about things that are ever, not temporary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, is everybody there? In verse 11. All Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Read it with me. Our heart is wide open. You are not what? Restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Those restrictions are also called selfish restrictions. Everyone say selfish restrictions. He says this, look at it. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Now what is he doing? He's getting ready to say, here's a part of the cure for your selfish restrictions, okay? These are some of the things that I can guide you on. Remember, Paul is writing this to the church of Corinth. He says, do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. Hello. Why? Bad company corrupts what? Good habits. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? That's like somebody saying, I'm a believer, but I hang out in the bars every Friday and Saturday night. Well, you're not a believer. And what accord has Christ with Belial, Lord of the flesh? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, if you'll do this, what does he say? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch. That touch is three-dimensional. That touch is associated with touching things of the thoughts that are ungodly, touching the things of the physical that are ungodly, and touching the things of the eyes that are ungodly, or the ears, your gates. So everybody got that? Those are three-dimensional areas of what is ungodly. Do not touch, especially the mouth. In verse 18, he said, then I will be a what? Father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, because it's been contaminated. Perfecting holiness in the what? Fear of God, or reverence, honor, and respect. Let me share something with you that selfish restrictions will nullify the fear of the Lord. It nullifies it. Man, a person just boom, does whatever. Why? Because those selfish things no longer hold restriction. They let loose of the flesh. It takes hold. And the Bible says that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is what? Willing. Selfish restrictions are boundaries of limitations that prevent growth in the spirit. They restrict us from growing more. Hosea chapter 5. That's why Jesus gave us the formula for freedom. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. Amen? Hosea chapter 5. Come out from among them. No touch. Can't touch that. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Can't touch that. Hey, even Hammer got saved. He got hit by a truck. He got hammered. Hosea 5 and verse 5. Let's start at 4. They do not direct their deeds, come on, read it with me, toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst. They do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Verse 8. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet of Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Aven. Look beyond you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by what? Human precepts. In other words, selfish restrictions are human precepts. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Human precepts are selfish restrictions. Proverbs 30. Hallelujah. In verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its what? Filthiness, which is what? Selfish restrictions, human precepts. There is a generation on how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And I'm telling you, that generation is associated with humanism. Humanism. Humanism walks according to human precepts. We call them humanites. We used to be humanites. Now we're eternalites. So you're either one or the other. You're either walking according to your human precepts, according to the ways of the way the world thinks, the way the world's wisdom is, all the things of the world, the way the world says this is how you need to be successful. All of these things, remember, whatever man exalts and admonishes, the Lord what? Calls it an abomination. You know, we have this tendency to want to build everything so that it's recognized. But what we want is God's recognition, not man's. Who cares what man says? Well, who cares what man thinks? Does everybody got this? We want to be God-pleasers, not man-pleasers. God-pleasers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, and even, you know, I have to crack up because the political arena is just really expressing human precepts. They're all fighting for their position. They're all making promises, and they all lie. They exaggerate, they manipulate, so they can hold their position so that they can be someone and collect a paycheck. It's amazing that if you go across the board in America, you'll find in how many politicians, the people are hurting, but they're giving themselves raises. Something's not right. In fact, they should cut their paychecks in half because they're to be servants. They're to be servants to the people, yet the people are paying them to steal from them. Something's not right because there is no talk of God. There's no talk of the fear of God. In other words, everyone's talking about how this one's doing, what that one's doing, what this one's not doing, what, you know, abortion isn't good. Well, this isn't good. But what does God say? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and said, we need to stand before God. What does the Lord say on all of this? I'm not here to please men. We need a politician. We need Jesus. That's willing to say, this is what God says. See, the fear of the Lord has got to be returned to this country somehow. One of the things I think it needs to be returned to is the body of Christ. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no reverence. The Bible says that wisdom is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All of these, but this is not carnal wisdom, that's eternal wisdom. But we're seeing so much of this selfish restrictions that the enemy places on us and lures us back into. And it restricts us from growing. It causes individuals to backslide, compromise, become complacent, lazy, justify when it's not pleasing to the Lord at all. Human precepts are selfish restrictions. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, is everybody there? And verse 12, I think that's where it is. Verse 12, let's read it together. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Hello. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. Does everybody got this? In other words, we're not going to associate with those and compare ourselves with others. We don't compare ourselves to man. We compare ourselves to God. That's why Jesus came. We're to compare ourselves to him. You know, everybody used to wear those bracelets, what would Jesus do? Which I don't see anymore because I think everybody got convicted. They were wearing those bracelets. What would Jesus do? Oh, man, I'm not using that. They got convicted too many times. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I think we have to ask ourselves that all the time in self-examination. And when we ask ourselves in that, in self-examination, you're going to find yourself repenting. Lord, forgive me. Isn't that what he's looking for? Is that a fruit of humbleness, repentance? Yeah, Lord, forgive me. Not say, you're wrong, I'm right, and this and that. No, shut up. Just humble yourself. Eat some humble pie. Quit trying to prove that you're right or this is or whatever. Who's wrong? Examine yourself. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus be doing what you're doing? Am I expanding the kingdom of God or my kingdom? What am I doing? Why? Because now you're standing before him. And we need to stand before him now before we stand before him. Because then it's too late. Because you can't adjust anything when you're physically, when you're spiritually standing before him. But you can adjust things right now. But when you give your last breath up, there's no adjustment available. It's over with. Amen? Is everybody okay? Selfish promotion is worldly wisdom, promoting selfish restrictions. In James chapter 3, in verse 13, James 3, verse 13. Let's speak it together, please. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter, envy, and self-seeking in your hearts, and do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Wow. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are what? They're there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, willing to what? Yield. That's submit, isn't it? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace by those who make peace. So we see that this earthly wisdom is demonic, keeping an individual in a place where self-restrictions are being promoted and prevents a person from spiritually growing. I'm telling you, that's one of the enemy's tactics, is to prevent you from growing. Amen? And I want to share with you that growing spiritually is a place where you trust. Growing spiritually is growing in trust. Growing spiritually is growing in denying of self. Growing spiritually is able to see things all the way through. Growing spiritually is a realization that you need to keep yourself hungry and thirsty. Growing spiritually is to acknowledge that your emotions are trying to rule you. Growing spiritually is that your self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Growing spiritually is knowing that you can't do it in your own strength. Growing spiritually is accepting what God says as the final word. Has everybody got this? And I'm not going to repeat myself. You'll have to get the CD. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 3. Growing spiritually is to be able to discern what is clean, unclean, holy, unholy. What's of God and not of God. One of the most important things of growing spiritually is knowing God's time. Without knowing God's time, we're in trouble. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Ooh, hold on, 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are what? Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And there should be another word there called ignorant. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and what? Repent. Be zealous and repent. Romans 6, selfish restrictions. Selfish restrictions are human precepts. Romans 6, in verse 19, he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Human terms, carnal terms, selfish restrictions. You know, one of the fruits of these also is what we call stubbornness and rebellion. Stubbornness and rebellion, fruits of selfish restrictions. Stubbornness and rebellion. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together in verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh or human precepts or selfish what? Restrictions. Carnal. Flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What begins to happen in Christ? It's just like if you were in the water, you decided to step in the water, and the water was up to your neck, and you had all kinds of stuff in your pocket. What happens is it begins to float to the top, hopefully. See, he who's in Christ, it's like getting in the water. And what begins to happen is all of your selfish restrictions begin to come up to the top. And it's our responsibility to remove them and get rid of them. He who's in Christ is a new creation. All things that pass away and all things become new. Why? Because these things come before you for you to remove. And now you can continue to quote that scripture, I'm a new creation in Christ, and that can still be there. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. So it's our responsibility to remove them. We will never change until we cooperate. You can quote scriptures till you're dead in the water. But until you cooperate, you cannot change. Because change is also associated with exchange, isn't it? No exchange, no change. Selfish characters come to the surface. That's why we must be consistent to be alert, or we won't recognize them. We'll just keep petting them and thinking it's okay. We'll keep doing the same thing over and over and over because it's not been removed. And whose responsibility is it to move it? Remove it? Ours. Again, selfish characters come to the surface, allowing removal. So we got to remove the old to bring in the new, don't we? So we're removing those selfish restrictions to allow growth. Does everybody got this? See, people are trying to grow without cooperation. It's not going to work. In other words, we won't interpret the things God is trying to say to us because we're not consistent. Being consistent also allows us to learn the language of God and how he speaks and how he impresses so that we can be alert. And as we're alert, we're sensitive to those things. And we begin to remove them because we know that they're selfish restrictions that prevent our growth. Again, as we grow, we become sensitive to the things that come up. You're not staying here. No. Other than that, there are many believers that have stuff floating all around them, and they still can't see it. And they're blaming everybody else for their stuff. Well, you don't know my life. So what? I can see it all on the surface. Get rid of it. Go to Jeremiah 7. Is everybody okay? Man, you're really quiet today. I know you're taking a lot of notes to teach this. Good. Jeremiah chapter 7. In verse 23. Would you read it with me? But this is what I commanded them. Is everybody there? Saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and dictates of their evil hearts, which is what? Selfish what? Restrictions. And went what? Backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to all of my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak to all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord, the God, nor receive correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. And it sounds like this nation right now. Truth is trying to be cut off here, isn't it? With all the things that are going on. This country's already in judgment. We're already being judged. That's why you're seeing all these disasters. Places burning up. I'm telling you, countries are burning up. Half of California's burning up. Look at all the things that's going on. Flooding like crazy. You have flooding overflowing, houses floating down rivers in one area of the country, places burning up. People are becoming homeless. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are becoming homeless because of the disasters. People are running to doctors for medication. People are running to everything of the world except for God. Why? His purpose is try to awaken their dull-hearted. They're not consistent, nor are they alert to what's going on. That's why we must be. We must be alert for those who are not alert. Amen? We must be the light for those who are in darkness. And it's our responsibility to be consistent and alert. And let me tell you something. For much is given. Hello, much is responsible for. Amen? Truth is being perished. Ezekiel 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. In verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house which has eyes to see, but what? Does not see. And ears to hear, but does not hear. For they are a what? Rebellious house. That house is associated also with you as a temple. You be the house. Therefore, son of man, prepare your belongings for what? Captivity. And go into captivity by day in their sight. You shall go from your place into captivity to another place in their sight. It may be that they will consider, though they are a rebellious house. What happens is stubbornness and rebellion puts a person into captivity. And hopefully they will recognize that they're in captivity so that they can repent for their selfish restrictions and come out of captivity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there is a cleaning of the house going on. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's speak this together, please. Is everybody okay? In verse 4. Remember, Paul writes this to the Corinthians, and he says in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm sorry. Did I say that already? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Everybody got it? Let's grow for it. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are what? Mature, growing. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? Our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So I would say that we definitely need to be consistent and alert. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Hello. Oh, you may look up some of these words in the dictionary, but I'm telling you, that ain't the same meaning. Believe does not mean to follow in the dictionary. Does everybody understand that? They have it as a form of faith. You're not going to find the word faith that says spiritual sight. Does everybody got this? It's associated with something a person believes. But see, belief means to follow. Faith is spiritual sight, because we don't walk by natural sight, we walk by faith. Faith is to be able to see spiritually. But you're not going to find that in the dictionary. There's many other words that you will not find in a dictionary. Amen? You won't find the worst word lost, which means living outside of salvation's truth. Hello? You lost, you're living outside of salvation's truth. Anyways, verse 13, these things we also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 4, but the carnal man, the one that has selfish restrictions, human precepts, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the only way to be spiritually discerned is to be consistent and alert. Amen? Is everybody all right? Praise God. You know, if you can't spiritually discern something which is associated with selfish restrictions, what happens is a person goes back to its old ways. And that's what the word says, that the dog goes back to its vomit. Because it goes back to what it understands and is comfortable. It's willing to throw off those things which they've learned to go back, which they believe is easier, but it really isn't. It's actually harder. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 1, let's speak it together. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as what? Carnal. Why? Because they were still in the flesh. They're still allowing their selfish restrictions to rule their life. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you still can't receive it. And even now you are still not able. He was rebuking the church. For you are still carnal, he said. For where there are what? Envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal, behaving like what? Mere men, or living according to human precepts with selfish restrictions. Envy, strife, behaving like humanites instead of eternalites. In Romans 6. All glory. Selfish restrictions. Romans chapter 6, and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Why? Selfish restrictions are evidence of a presence of evil. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave from whom you obey, whether leading sin to death or obedience leading to what? Righteousness. Romans 8. Verse 31, let's speak it. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who has not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Thank you, Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, his love is consistent. Has everybody got it? His love is consistent no matter what. He loves us whether we're bonehead or not. He loves us whether we're rebellious or not. But again, he loves us unconditionally, but we want him to like us too. Amen. And I'm going to close in James 4. Selfish restrictions. Can't touch that. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. Is everybody there? Good. And verse 7. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And do not speak evil of anyone or another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall do such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow. Again, examine yourself. Search yourself out. Are you allowing selfish restrictions to rule your life? Human precepts. Are you a human light or an eternal light? Are you expanding the kingdom of God or yourself? Where are you at? Amen? Where you be? Search it out. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for your counsel, correction, direction. Thank you for your chastening because you love those whom you chasten. Lord, let us have the eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive and obey, that we may be pleasing to you, knowing that you love us unconditionally. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us will have a desire to do your will and not our own. Not living out of our deceitful heart, but living out of the Spirit of God. I pray blessing over each and every one here, Lord, and all those who are here and those who are watching and listening. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you, and his word be imparted in you and grow and bear fruit for his glory. And that you continue to shed the old so that the new can come. That you would be consistent and alert, sober and vigilant, removing those things from your path that would cause you to stumble. living from the future and not from the past. May the Lord keep you in health and prosper you. And I ask that you continue to grow and go to theeternallibrary.org and be discipled by the Word of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.